the first memory I have of cold was at school, got introduced by older people to stegophily, which is climbing buildings at night in the school area, which obviously is not permissible. So you creep around and climbing buildings using lightning conductors and drain pipes and all that sort of stuff, usually old buildings.
Right.
And this particular one, the school, 1,200 people there, and we did it on a very cold, windy winter night because that's when there were less masters patrolling the streets below. And we decided that because the dustbin that we were going to put on the top of this huge tower had not been put by our friend where it should have been, at the last minute, my colleague said, well, the only thing we can do is I'll get one of my old tail coats, because at Eton they wear black tail coats, and he'd got bigger than his old one. That seemed a good idea. So we got up there, you know, 3-hour climb in the wet and cold, got very cold, put the tailcoat up on top, flapping in the wind, descended all the way back down to the bottom, shook hands at the bottom, drank some cherry brandy, which is what we did after a good climb.
How old would you have been here?
I would have been 16, yeah. And then he remembered, halfway through the cherry brandy, that his name was still in the tailcoat up top.
You know, this a giveaway.
This is a sacking offence.
Right.
You know? And so up again, and by the time we finally got down, it was nearing dawn, so we were very frightened of exposure. I mean, being caught.
Rather than...
Well, both types of
exposure. Yes.
And I do remember the shivering and the cold and our hands have gone white and all the rest of it. Although, like I say, I was 16, so I don't really remember much.
So do you think... I mean, this is an interesting psychological point. Do you think you therefore associated shivering and cold with adventure, excitement, adrenaline, all of those things that would have been associated with that sort of escapade?
That's a little bit Freudian and sort of introspective. I'm not capable of philosophy. But I think the next time that we did an expedition, we felt extremely cold. This was in Norway on a glacier arriving.
So you went from a tower outside Eton to a glacier in Norway?
Yeah, this, after maybe a thing of about 6 years, I think it was. And the team made very stupid mistakes, near death on that one. I actually can remember and do tell that in the book. And that was -8, and we thought that was very, very cold indeed.
And I think by most people's standards it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but by the end of the book we're talking -85 centigrade and so on, with wind chill factors on one occasion at -122 degrees centigrade on the interior plateau of Antarctica, where we overwintered, four of us, in, I think, 1979.
So if the appeal of this cold, and that's what the book is about, isn't to do with some, you know, I don't know, kind of schoolboy urge to recreate excitement, what is it? Because for most of us, discomfort is something that we avoid because it's uncomfortable, it's not pleasant, and it's dangerous, and it's all sorts of other things. What is the attraction of cold places?
Well, there isn't a particular attraction to cold, but I make a living in order to pay the gas bill by doing expeditions, and I've done it for 40 years.
You could do expeditions to the Sahara, couldn't you, or the Brazilian jungle.
Done expeditions not to the Brazilian jungle, to the Sahara. I've spent more time on hot expeditions than cold ones,
right.
But that's not the point of this particular book, so I've left all of them out.
Sure.
The press, that's you lot, are more interested in the cold expeditions than the hot ones. We need a lot of sponsorship from sponsors. They want media coverage, so you have a bitter circle where you end up doing very cold expeditions and going for world records, which haven't yet been done by anybody, even the Norwegians. So we have, over the 40 years of doing it, our team have begun to find a new motivation, which is called competition. And it is almost...
It's almost like a sport, isn't it now, really, in that sense?
Yes, but the sport is going for what hasn't been yet done. So if it's sport, it's running a mile in under 3 minutes or something, rather than just ongoing competition, same after. So we're going for the big ones, and so you often fail, and over 40 years, 50% of the expeditions have failed, including when we've broken world records, but not quite got to the end game. And it's become very competition.